Yes, time and venue.
When are we ending?
We'll end in time for the Levaya at 11 o'clock. The Levaya is in Zeisman in the end of the day. Okay. So, we're going to turn to a new topic today. The topic is Olam Haba. You can turn to your source sheets on page 126. This is a very big topic. Obviously, we're not going to be able to fully investigate it in the 2 weeks that we have left. Just also as a reminder, the Bechina is going to be on the 19th. We'll have a makeup date for the Bechina on the 24th at 9 a.m. in the Beis Medrash. So the idea of Olam Haba at its most basic level reflects the belief that of the Nitzchias HaNeshama, meaning to say that we are not merely our physical bodies, and death is not death, but really the separation of the body from the soul, whereby the soul continues to exist. And though we will see in a moment that there is some debate about exactly what Olam Haba means, this basic idea is something that there is no debate about, the Nitzchias HaNeshama, and that death is the separation of the guf from the neshama, and the like. Now, before we begin addressing what Olam Haba is, we should consider whether this is a topic that we should actually talk about at all. And in fact, you can make several arguments why we should not talk about it. Perhaps that's why today is such a short shiur. Number one is that we can't understand it anyway. The Gemara in Brachos says, "Kol neviim kulan lo nisnavu el limos haMashiach, aval yolam haba ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha." And the Rambam explains what this means. The Rambam you have over here on page 126 is that the Nevi'im prophesied about the Messianic period, because the Messianic period is a this-worldly experience. It's something that we can explain, something we could understand. It's a time when things will be much better and the problems we have now will be solved, but it's something that we could relate to, and thus the prophets describe it. Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence, and therefore it is something that we cannot at all relate to in our current venue. Take a look at the Rambam. Hatova hagadola shetia ba hanefesh b'olam haba ein shum derech b'olam hazeh la'asiga v'lei da'osa. So this tova that the nefesh will have in olam haba, that is something that we cannot comprehend. She'en anu yodim b'olam hazeh ela tova saguf v'la anu mis'avim aval osa tova gadola ad me'od v'ein la'erech b'tovos ha'olam hazeh ela derech mashal. We can only compare it to the hana that we get while in this world with a mashal. We could say, the hana of Olam Haba is greater than all the hanos of Olam Hazeh combined, times 100. Okay, but that doesn't tell us very much. Aval b'derech ha'emes, shenaroch tovas ha'nefesh b'olam haba, b'tovos ha'guf b'olam hazeh b'machal, v'mishta eino kein, elos ha'tova gdolad ein cheker v'ein la'erech v'dimyon. Husha Amar David, Marav Tovcha Sher Tzafante Lireyacha. So, the Rambam tells us we can't relate to it, we can't understand it, and perhaps therefore there's no point of even talking about it. And continuing in Halacha Zayin. And this point, by the way, as I said before, everybody agrees to. While there are disagreements about the exact nature of Olam Haba, that Olam Haba is a spiritual existence with spiritual hana is something that's not debated, and it's also not debated that it's not something that we could really understand at all or relate to in our current state of affairs. Kfar hodiunu hachachamim harishonim shetovas Olam Haba ein koach ba'adam lasiga alborya ve'ein yodea godla v'yafya v'atzma ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. It's interesting. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not people after they exist in Olam Haba? You'd think if you're in Olam Haba, you'd know what it is. Maybe we'll turn to that. V'shekol ha-tovo she-misnavim bahem ha-neviim li-Yisrael einan ela l'dvarim she-beguf she-nenin bahem Yisrael imos ha-Mashiach b'zman she-tashuv ha-memshala li-Yisrael aval tovos chaylam haba ein la-erech v'dimyon v'lo dimu ha-neviim kidei she-lo yifchasu osa b'dimyon. So, of course, the Yimos HaMashiach and the greatness of Yimos HaMashiach is not just Hanas HaGuf. What's so gewaldic about all Yimos HaMashiach is not like, oh, we'll have lots of money and lots of food and physical pleasures. Like the Rambam says, it's going to be a time where we will be able to dedicate ourselves and focus exclusively on our Avodas Hashem and Torah and Mitzvot and the like. But still, that's something we could relate to. Even Bizman Hazeh, we could all imagine, you know, what could be better than just, you know, going to yeshiva and having your food and laundry taken care of and sitting and learning all day. It's like, who could ask for more? So, that's something we could relate to, even if it's not, if I told you it wasn't going to be the best food in the world. But Olam Haba is something much more than that. And the Rambam here says an interesting thing. He says the Nevi'im didn't even describe it so as not to diminish it with their descriptions, with their comparisons. Meaning to say that any description of Olam Haba that we would try to give would be to compare it to something that we could relate to. And doing so would detract from what it really is, because whatever I say is not true and does not reflect its goodness, and therefore even trying to describe it would simply detract from it. The Rambam here alludes to a very important issue, which we'll spend time on describing, maybe not today, which is, why is it that Olam Haba is not at least explicitly discussed in Tanakh, certainly not in the Torah? There are a number of answers to this question, and the Rambam gives a number of answers to this question as well. And one reason that he says over here is because any description of it would take away from what it is. Now, that's not a complete answer. That explains why it's not described as the Messianic era is described. It doesn't explain why, at least, it's not referred to. Why the Torah doesn't say, well, there is this thing as the spiritual existence called Olam Haba and the like, but at least it explains why it's not described, that any descriptions would take away from it. Hushi shayau omer ayin lo rasa lo kim zula secha yasem lo chakelo kolom ratova shelo rasa osa ayin navi velo rasa ela lo kim. Not only did the prophets not describe it, but the prophets didn't even see it. Meaning to say, it's not nitfas to nevuah. Nevuah is something that's shayach to things that are physical, or at least that a human can relate to, and therefore even a navi could not perceive Olam Haba while alive on this world. Aso so alokim la'adam shemechake lo. Amru chachamim kol neviim kulam lo nivu eli mosem Mashiach aval ha'olam haba ayin lo ras alokim zula secha. Now, the Ramban notes that we can't imagine non-physical pleasures, right? Even on this world, there are things like honor or revenge or intellectual activity, all of which are associated with pleasure, even though they're not physical. But apparently, even these things, though they're not physical, are not at all comparable to the type of pleasure that we'll experience in Olam Haba. Even the word pleasure perhaps is not at all precise, because when we use the word pleasure, we compare it to the pleasurable activities that we experience in this world, and the Rambam and the Ramban point out that's imprecise. The Ramban says you can't know what Olam Haba is unless you're there. So, reason number one not to study Olam Haba is because we can't understand it anyway. And reason number two, the Rambam says over here, is because any descriptions we give will not do it justice and will take away from it. Now, Agav, there's an interesting Ha'ara here, which is that the Rambam frequently tells us Dibra Torah Kilashim Ne Adam, which means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in the Torah anthropomorphically and inaccurately. Why? Because we need to know Hashem exists. So we don't say about Hashem, well, since he can't really be described or understood, so the Nevi'im don't talk about him. Rather, we say that we do our best, and ad kedei kach, that the Torah even presents HaKadosh Baruch Hu incorrectly, in a certain sense, so people can be aware of and appreciate the truth of his existence. So why don't we say the same thing about Olam Haba? Okay, it's true. You can't really relate to what it is, but let's give some dimyonos. We give dimyonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we can relate to him. Why don't we give dimyonos of Olam Haba, so we can relate to it? And the answer is l'chora obvious, which is that we need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to know the truth of his existence. But it's not particularly important for us to know about what Olam Haba is, and therefore the Rambam says, v'lo dimu anevim kedei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimyon. Another reason that the Rambam alludes to in Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva why we should not be studying this topic is because it's very important that we not be motivated by Olam Haba. And this is another reason why the Mefarshim explained that Torah does not focus on or perhaps even discuss overtly the topic of Olam Haba. A person should be Oved Hashem Me'ava, not Me'ira, someone who is Oved as Harav Amanas L'Kabel Pras, that is not the ideal of Oda, and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get Olam Haba is an example of that, the Rambam says at Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva. And therefore, another reason that we shouldn't be discussing this is because discussing Olam Haba is something that can cause a person to think of Olam Haba as something that inspires us and motivates us to do Torah and mitzvos, and that's not correct. So a third reason not to be learning the sugya. A fourth reason not to be learning the sugya is, take a look at this passage from Isha Halacha on page 137. The Rav writes that halachic man has no interest in Olam Haba. We'll just read the English. The halacha is not at all concerned with the transcendent world. The world to come is a tranquil, quiet world that is wholly good, wholly everlasting, and wholly eternal, wherein a man will receive the reward for the commandments which he performed in this world. However, the receiving of reward is not a religious act. Therefore, a halachic man prefers the real world to a transcendent existence, because here in this world, man is given the opportunity to create, act, accomplish, while there, in the world to come, he is powerless to change anything at all. And this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalid, Huaya Omer, Rabbi Yaakov used to say, Yafa sha'achas v'tshuvo ma'isim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayolam haba. It's true, Yafa sha'achas shel kars ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayolam haba hazeh. But the fact that the chorus ruach in Olam Haba is greater than all of Chayolam Hazeh is irrelevant in a certain sense, because our focus, at least while we are alive, is in this world. And because in this world we can make a difference. So despite the unimaginable pleasure associated with Olam Haba, that in a certain sense is not interesting to us. Because at least while we're here, so our focus is Olam Hazeh. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in a famous drasha, it's printed in the back of the Brown Nefesh HaChaim's, quotes the Gaon on this topic, who explains that's why we daven not to die. And he quotes the Graz saying things like, what importance does Olam Haba have? In Olam Haba, you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't do mitzvos. And that's why Yafe Sha'achas B'tshuva Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh. So, to summarize, the reasons why we really should not go on this topic are, number one, we can't understand it. Number two, whatever we say will not do it justice. Number three, we're not supposed to be motivated by it in any way. And number four, our focus is supposed to be on Olam Hazeh, perfecting our lives in this world, and not thinking about the afterlife. And finally, since it's not anyway discussed explicitly in the Torah, at least the Torah Shebichsav, so there's not much to say. So we could even end now. But obviously it's not so simple. Chazal do discuss Olam Haba, and the Rishonim do so as well. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah spent several chapters discussing it, the Ramban and Shar Gemul and many others. So why is it that there are those who do discuss this topic? So one answer is practical. If you take a look at the Mechtav Meliyahu, he points out that even if the Rambam writes that ideally a person's motivation should not be Olam Haba, but for many people, thinking about Gan Eden or thinking about Gehenna or the like will help them do what's right or stay away from what's wrong. And if lemaisa, a person is struggling with a particular nisayon, and thinking about the fire of Gehenna is going to help them not do that avera, so it's a very good idea to think about that. If you look at the Balei HaMusar, though this isn't a particularly popular Derech and Avodas Hashem nowadays, but there's tremendous emphasis on that, on thinking about the nature of, let's say, the pain of Gehenna or the Busha of Gehenna. And there's no doubt that, again, you have to do what works, and Mitoch Shelo Lishma Balishma. But I think it's much more basic and foundational than simply a tool for motivation. And we could appreciate this perhaps by looking at the famous Mishnah in the last parak of Sanhedrin. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelok li'olam haba, she'ne'amar v'ameh kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu aretz. Agav, note here how this Mishnah assumes, and many of the drashos in Chazal also assume, that references in Tanakh to things like Adama and Aretz and the like are understood as referring to Olam Haba. So here, the drasha of the pasuk of Li'olam Yirshu Aretz, based off the word Li'olam, is understood as a reference to Olam Haba. Again, maybe if we have a chance, we'll describe why that is. Why is Olam Haba always referred to as Aretz, or Adama, or the like? But for now, let's leave that. Netzer mata'ay ma'asei yadai li'isba'er. And then the Mishnah continues. The song, for some reason, ends over here, but the Mishnah continues with Ve'elu she'en lam chelek li'olam haba. Now, another important hara, maybe we'll talk about this soon, is the lashon of the Mishnah is very strange. One would have expected it to say something like Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek li'olam haba chutz mi 1, 2, and 3. But it's said as a definitive statement. No, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek haba. And then there's another statement. Oh, but elu she'en lam chelek li'olam haba, and there are exceptions. Bekitzer, this reflects the idea that to the extent that a person is a Yisrael, they have a chelek in olam haba. And while it might be shayach to lose olam haba, that's only because a person is mafkia themselves from that shame Yisrael. So it's true, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek haba. It's not chutz. There's no such thing as Yisrael that doesn't have a chelek in olam haba. There are elu she'en lam chelek olam haba, but they're not a Yisrael. Maybe we'll get back to that. But who are these people that don't lose, that don't have Olam Haba? So the first on the list is Ha'omer Ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. Someone who denies Tchias HaMeisim. Why is it that someone who denies Tchias HaMeisim has no chelik in Olam Haba? So the Gemara says, Hu kafar ba, lefikach lo yeh lo chelik ba. He denied Olam Haba, and therefore he has no chelik in Olam Haba. Now, you might say, what do you mean? The Mishnah didn't say, Ha'omer ein Olam Haba, it says, Ha'omer ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. So this line in the Gemara supports the view, the majority view, and this seems to be the view of Chazal in a number of places, the view of the Ramban and the Raman and most Rishonim, that Olam Haba is something that takes place post Tchias HaMeisim, whereby we do have a physical body. Now, it is an entirely spiritual existence. We said before that everybody agrees, Rambam, Ramban, everyone agrees that Olam Haba is a spiritual existence, and that is true. There is a machlokas, whether it's a spiritual existence in which we also have a guf, or it is an entirely spiritual existence with no guf. Now, seemingly, there would be no reason to have a guf if it's an entirely spiritual existence, which is the kasha that the Rambam asked the Ramban, and therefore the basis of his conclusion that it must be that there is no guf in Olam Haba. We'll have to try to understand what Ramban would respond to that. But one way or the other, that does seem to be the view of Chazal. So the Gemara says that if you deny Olam Haba, then you have no chelik in Olam Haba. Now, Pasha Pshat, okay, Mida Kenegan, Mida and the like, but it goes much deeper. Take a look at the Rama, who comments on this point. This is the Rama in that Mishnah. Again, the next source that you have over here on page 127. The Inyan HaOlam Haba Yisod Gadol Miyisodei HaTorah. So number one is, we have to understand, and this is why we're learning this sugya, is that Olam Haba is from the Yisodos HaTorah. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yamuna. It's something that we all have to at least know that it exists, even if we don't have to know what exactly it means. Sharia kofir bo, afal pi sheyesh bil yado toru mitzvos, eino chelok lam haba. The fact is that anyone who's kofir in Olam Haba, he could do Torah and mitzvos and the like, but he has no chelok in Olam Haba. Kedem mefarish b'masnisin, u'mosif le'birura b'gemara v'lo od, el shetziduk dino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu talui bo. Meaning to say that there could be no justice without Olam Haba at all. Lomar, she'enav pikuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam, laseis l'ish kedrachav u'chafri me'alolav. Meaning to say, we know, we look at the world, and we see a world in which tzaddikim suffer, in which rishayim prosper. We look at our world and we see injustice. And if all there was this world, if there was no such thing as Olam Haba, that would be an absolute denial of divine justice. Lefikach tzrichim anu lefarsh inyano, lefima shekibalnu me'avosenu me'arosenu. Therefore, the Ramah says we have to explain what this Olam Haba idea is. And that's why it's so important to discuss Olam Haba. In other words, discuss, despite the objections that we laid out originally, it is still something we must seek to understand. And the Ramah notes, kefima shekibalnu me'avosenu me'arosenu, because much of what, or all of what we know, is really based off of that tradition, based off of that Kabbalah, because as we noted as well, there's very little in the Torah Shebichsav. It's not just like the Ramah says, because without it there would be no justice. And like the Rambam writes in the next source, as you see over here, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yamuna. But really, it is very fundamental to our outlook and our basic kashkafa. And this is something that should be stressed. Sometimes people compare Judaism with Christianity in the sense that Judaism is a Olam Hazeh focused religion and other religions are very otherworldly focused, and there's something to that. As we saw before, Yafesh Ha'achas, Torah Mitzvos Olam Hazeh. But it's not so simple. And to appreciate this, take a look at the Gemara towards the bottom of 127. The Gemara tells us that Esav was kofer b'tchias ha-meisiv. D'chsiv hinei anochi holech lamos. In other words, we know that Yaakov and Esav were disagreeing about the birthright. It's not clear what exactly they were, you know, what Yaakov wanted and what Esav seems to have been not so interested in. But Esav says this idea of hinei anochi holech lamos v'lama zali b'chora. So what is this referring to? Rashi Kiyadua says it's referring to the Avodah and the Mikdash. But the Ramban explains, top of the next page, Vizu sibas bizuya b'chora, ki ein chefetz b'ksilim, rak shiyochlu v'yishtu v'yasu cheftzam b'itam, v'lo yachushu liyom machar. So the difference between Yaakov and Esav was exactly this point. Esav's attitude was basically eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And therefore, to him, giving up on Olam Haba for a good meal was a good deal. It made sense. And Yaakov disagrees. And Yaakov says, no, there is much more to life than food. And that's what he's asking when he asks for the Bechorah. If you take a look at many of the descriptions in Chazal about the debate, the dialogue between Yaakov and Esav here and in other places, it reverberates around this point. I'll just mention one medrash, small passage. Ritzon chatola ta'olam hazev ani olam haba shenemar mechra kayom b'charas chali kosasha shahayu bevetan imam miyad kafer Esav b'tchias ha-meisim v'amar ani oleich lamos v'lama zali b'chora. So what the Medrash, what the Ramban, what the Psukim are telling us, hinei anochi holech lamos. Esav's idea is that Misa is Misa. When a person dies, that's it. There's nothing more than the here and now of Olam Hazeh. And that's what Yaakov disagrees with. The Maharal expands on this a lot. I guess we don't have time to go through it. But he explains that this is this explains in a sense a mystery of world history, right? We believe that the world was created for Klal Yisrael, Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Sinikru Reishis, but yet we also look at this world and we know that we are frequently persecuted and trampled upon and the like. And the answer is that our spiritual mission, sometimes at the very least, does not allow us to experience the tranquility in Olam Hazeh. And that's why when a ger comes, a potential ger comes to join us, we tell him, you know, basically, Olam Hazeh is not for the Jewish people. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not important. Like we said before, Olam Hazeh is very important. But it's not our makom. It's not our makom. And this, in fact, I remember, if you take a look at the Gemara, I guess, very bekitzer, says that Esav did five averos on that day. For example, he was bol, nairam, urasa, he was kafer, b'tchias ha-meisim, and the like. I remember once hearing from Ravan Lapiansky that if you take a look, all those averos had the same nekuda, which is that the hashkaf of Esav was all about the here and now. So one is to be kofen olam haba. But even, let's say, bol naira murasa, right? Why naira murasa? Why not use bol na ish ish? Especially because there was no such thing as erisin in those days. So the yesod of erisin is that a woman has the status of an ashes ish even when she's bevesavia. In other words, it's a future orientation. Even though right now, as it were, she's still living b'vesaviha, but because of what's going to happen in a year from now, she already has a status of Eishas Ish. And Esav is the opposite. It's a denial of that reality, that all there is what we see, and it's not part of something bigger, both in terms of space and time and the like. I guess this is an important, a good segue to a Levaya now. We have to stop here early for Rabbi Hoffman's Levaya. Rabbi Hoffman, many of you might not have fully appreciate it because he's been sick for the last couple of years, but he's a very big part of our yeshiva, and a very big Talmud Chacham, and a great person. And since it's a Friday and the like, I think anyone who is able to participate should. And it's now in the Zeisman Beis Medrash. Tei Zechro Baruch, and we should all have a good Shabbos.
Why did they move it?